Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
A new series tonight, I believe we'll be here for 3 weeks, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14, and I'll set this up after I read these two verses. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? You know, when you make a big declaration, there's always going to be the people with questions. What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am is in control. The subtitle would be, I am would be, he is, I believe, I receive. You may be seated. I don't know if you've noticed it a lot these last few weeks, but some of these series that we're doing on Sundays and Wednesdays, that I'm doing on Sundays and Wednesdays, have a lot to do with the character of who God is. And I do that because I believe God has been, and I've got a list on my desk of series that I'm wanting to tackle in 2022. They're in no particular order, but I pray over that. God gives me that list of topics or titles, and we always talk to God about, of course, what we're going to say, what we're going to dive into. But I really believe that God has us in the Jehovah series on Sundays at 11 a.m. God is starting this I Am series because there's a lot of new believers in the room today. We have had a huge group of numbers of families that have come to Jesus since COVID and since the church has been filling back up. And I give God praise for what he's doing in families, in full families. It's been awesome to see mothers, fathers, and their children, and then aunts and uncles, and then grandmothers and grandfathers being baptized and coming to. But it's important for us to not just give them something to shout about and feel good on Sunday, but to give them some meat and to help them know that the God that you serve doesn't live at Living Way. That God speaks other days than just Sundays or Wednesdays. That God moves. And I know we've got a lot of people that are former Catholics, and you've got family members that are Catholic. It's important for us to let them know you don't have to go through a pastor to talk to God. That you as a believer have access to Jesus. That I as a pastor will love you, will pray for you, will stand in the gap and encourage you. But at the end of the day, you don't need me to get to heaven. You've got a line straight to Jesus that whenever you want him, need him, whenever you want God to speak, whenever you need God to show up, you can call on Jehovah, you can call on Jesus, you can call on I Am, and boom, he shows up. But I'm also here to remind us seasoned saints, us believers that have been walking with God longer than a year or two, those of us that have been maybe living for God for decades. There are people that are watching this tonight or in the room that have been living for God and serving God longer than I've been alive. And now I've been alive a while, y'all. And so I'm not here just to encourage or to reveal something about the nature of God to the new generation of believers, but also to remind the older generation of believers that God is still big, that God is still good, that God is still great, that God is still all-powerful, that we should not become callous or numb to the God that we serve. I know you've been walking with him for two or three decades, but I don't want you to treat him like you do your spouse, who you haven't been on a date with in months, who you just peck on the lips, and it's not like it was on prom night. Hello, is that too much on a Wednesday night? The greatness of God, church, cannot be ignored. Just because some people ignore the greatness of God does not diminish the greatness of God. Just because atheists say Jesus does not exist as God and that there is no Jehovah God Just because the atheists say he doesn't exist doesn't mean that God just disappears. They might ignore him, but I'm standing in a room on a Wednesday night with some people that left their job and rushed home or fought traffic to be here tonight. And the reason you're sitting here tonight is the rest of the world might be ignoring him, watching Dancing with the Stars, and they're at the outlet mall shopping tonight, or they had a tough day at work. They might be ignoring him, but look at us here tonight. We fought through some stuff to get here. We put some stuff behind us to get here. We left some things at home to get here. Why? Because God will not be ignored. And the ones that don't ignore God is the one that God speaks to, speaks through, and does something in. The greatness of God cannot be trivialized. The greatness of God cannot be trivialized. That means it can't be made smaller than it really is. God is not Luby's. You don't get to taste test and just take what you want. You don't get to just carve out a little of Ephesians 3:20 and Matthew 6:33 that talks about the blessings of God and the abundance of God, but not talk about holy living. Not talk about every day of your life getting up, crucifying your flesh and say, God, not my will today, but let your will be done. That it's not always going to be about what we want, but sometimes, like John, we're going to have to say, God, today I decrease so that you can increase in my life. I will not make you smaller. I will not make you big on Sunday and make you small on Monday. I will not get loud about you on Wednesday and whisper about you on Thursday. God, I'm not going to trivialize you. You're a great big God, and I want you to be a big God there, here, and anywhere that I go. I'm not going to minimize you. I'm going to maximize. So you can't ignore, you can't trivialize. The greatness of God cannot be discounted. There is no junior Jesus. There is no junior Jesus. There is no junior Holy Ghost. Like you say, I want the Holy Ghost, but I don't want to speak in tongues. I don't know what you're talking about. Because the Bible says when he comes in you, you will have rivers of living water that come out of you. So when you say, I want a little Holy Ghost, he's not just going to open up a little and give you some. You either want it all or you want none. You take Jesus like you took your spouse, for better or worse, rich or poor, in sickness or in health. Till death do you part. Why is that? Because Jesus doesn't know how to be anything but great. He doesn't know how to be anything but who he is, which is everything we need him to be. If you can make Jesus small, he ain't Jesus. That's some other God. I'm talking about the greatness of God. When we read Genesis and the story of creation, that can only be possible through a great big God. You say, do you believe in evolution? I believe in a type of evolution. Every dog breed was not on the ark. I'm telling you what, right now, Noah could not have dealt with two chihuahuas for all that time. I promise you. There was two dogs, and those two dogs, through one pair of dogs, there was all kinds of evolutions happening, and now we've got Shih Tzus and Dalmatians and Pit Bulls and Rottweilers, and we got all these. And so I believe that we're all created in the image of God. I didn't come from a monkey, and neither did you. We didn't come from a speck in an amoeba in a pool of slime that we crawled out of. No, we were a speck in the Father's eye, and God created us in his image. And the only big bang that I believe is when God said it, bang, there it showed up. When he said, let there be light, boom, it showed up. That's a great big God. We read the deliverance story of the people of Israel, which is what Exodus chapter 3, our theme scripture, is taking from that account. But we read the deliverance story of the people of Israel and how God parted the Red Sea and how he took care of millions of people, feeding them every day for 40 years, making sure they had water every day for 40 years, making sure their clothes, come on now. See, some of you ladies wouldn't have liked God back then because you would have never had an excuse to buy new clothes. Your clothes never ran out, never wore out. Your shoes never wore out. That's a great big God to do that. Let us never ignore, trivialize, or discount. I don't care how long you have been living for God. Fall in love with Him again. Where is that zeal? Where is that excitement? Does your heart still beat fast in the presence of God? Do you still cry sometimes during worship and during prayer time? Why? Because I have not grown callous to God. He is still all powerful. And I can't believe that when I call on His name or hit my knees, that God talks back to me, that God moves on my behalf, that God parts Red Seas, that He's still creating for me and for mine. The adversary wants to minimize God, but I've got great news for you, believer. God cannot be minimized by anybody, including Satan. Satan cannot minimize God, and so he tries to do two things. The enemy will try to minimize how you see yourself. For those of you Saturday Night Live fans back in the 90s, Stuart Smalley used to do there was a skit, Stuart Smalley, and he would sit in front of a floor-length mirror, and he would have daily affirmations with Stuart Smalley. And he would say things like, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Those are great affirmations, but that's just self-help. I don't know if you know this or not, but you and I can't help ourselves. That is why we need Jesus. We're talking about, I need Jesus to get to heaven. You need Jesus to get to heaven. I can't even get to eternity because I can't tie my shoes without Jesus. I can't go to Walmart without Jesus. I can't stay married without Jesus. I can't be a father without Jesus. And so when I look at myself, I say, Lord, help me, because I cannot do or be what you have called me to be. And so the enemy tries to make us look at our flesh. That is why we have to have a healthy view of who Christ is and who we are in Christ, so that when the devil comes and lies to you about who you are and what you're capable of, you can say, you're right, I can't do that, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So number one, the enemy will minimize how you see yourself. Then the enemy will minimize or attempt to minimize how you see God. See, Santa Claus is getting ready to come to town. But God is growing very weary with us treating Him like Santa Claus. Where we only leave out the milk and cookies once a year because He's going to show up. And we know when He shows up, He's going to give us good gifts. Jesus cannot be trivialized to just a gift giver. Jesus cannot be trivialized to Sunday mornings or when we need something. Jesus is Lord of all. He died for us. And so for us or for me or you to have a trivialized version of Jesus does me no good, and everyone God has called us to lead no good. Don't minimize how you see God. He's a great God. Hebrews 6, verse 13, I love this. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by anyone that was greater, he looked around and it was a God flex. He looked around and said, nope, there's still nobody greater than me. So when he swore by himself. That's a powerful statement. God knows that there's no one like Him. And the whole point that we preach, and the reason you pray, and the reason we worship, is because we need to keep ourselves reminded there is no God like our God. Why do we do everything that we do? Why do we take offerings to keep all of this going for 46 years? Why do we hire staffs to maintain the building and to plan programs and to keep ministry? Why do we always invite people into the Dream Team, which is now almost 200 people working and volunteering every week to make sure that cameras are run, to make sure that lights are burning, to make sure that our children are taken care of. Why do we do that? So that we never forget that there is no one like God. Listen, I love that you go to Habitat for Humanity. I love that you're down in the soup kitchen. But can I tell you, if you do that, but you do not serve in a local church, we applaud those things. But can I tell you, this is where it is at. This is where you're going to be reminded, there is no one like my God. Remember when you struggled in the back door of this church or a church like this. Remember lonely days and possessed days and oppressed days and addicted days, but God still loved you, still woke you up. Remember when you were suicidal and you tried to end it all? There was a God that wouldn't let the pills hit your stomach, that wouldn't let the gun fire into your skull, that wouldn't let the blood leave. Why? Because God is good. He's got a plan for you, and he wants you reminded, and I've come to remind you tonight, there is no God like our God. There is no Jesus. There is no King like our King. There is no God like our Jesus. Never forget. Never forget that God swore by himself, because God was announcing to the world, there is nothing that comes close to who I am. And so when he needed to swear, he said, I swear by myself. I love the fact that he swears by himself. I preached this many times, and I'm just going to drop it out there for somebody to encourage them today. I love the fact that God makes a promise to Abraham. God made the promise, and God enforces the promise. When he said, I swear by myself, he said, I'm going to make sure that everything that I told you I was going to do, that it comes to pass and it happens. I'm not going to leave your promise up to your pastor. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to make crooked paths straight. I'm going to make sure the enemy knows he's still defeated and under your feet. Exodus chapter 3, verse 9, before we get to our main text, 13 and 14 that we read, verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. This is God now talking to Moses. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. God tells Moses, he said, I've heard my children and I have seen my children. I don't want to get too heavy here today, but there are some people in this room or watching online tonight that 2021 has not been the year that you thought it would be. And this time last year, you were just wanting 2020 to get behind you so you could step into a new 2021. And you've been talking to God, and you've been crying to God, and you have watered your pillow and your couch with your tears just like David did. And some of you have even wondered in your mind whether you've said it with your mouth or not. Does God hear me? I am here to tell you, just like God told Moses, God has heard every word you have prayed this year. None of those words have fallen to the ground. None of those requests have been forgotten by God. Can I encourage you? He remembers the prayer in February about your marriage. He remembers the prayer in May about your children. He remembers what you said last night in a fit of emotion. He remembers things that you prayed 20 years ago. And just because they have not happened yet does not mean that God has grown weary, that God has forgotten. He is still working, and he needs somebody to say, God, if I said it and you promised it, I'm still standing here believing. He said, I've heard the cry. And I just encourage you, take this, write this down. The I am hears you. Not your boss. Not your friend, not your mentor, the I am hears you. The God of the universe, when you begin to pray, listens to every word. He listens to everything that you need. He starts looking for faith. Can I provide and can I perform that which I promised? Are they operating at that level of faith? The I am hears you. Number two, the I am sees you. Can I just remind you, believer, that nothing that you're going through today surprises God. That rug might have been ripped out from under your feet. You might be wobbling around and wavering around, and that hit might have come out of nowhere. But God, the I Am, sees you. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows how you're being oppressed. He knows how you're being attacked. And just like he was telling Moses, he is telling you today, I have heard it all and I have seen it all. And once God hears it and once God sees it, there's only a couple things left to do. And one of those things is for God to start moving and for God to start working. He always hears it first and he always sees it first. But then after he hears and sees, God begins to move. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, the I Am hears you and sees you. Verse 10, come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. He said to Moses, come on, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You know what I love about the I Am? You are part of the I Am's plan. You are part of God's plan. Can I just tell you, let me take my pastor hat off for a second, and can I just tell you one of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody has a God idea and they want to unload it on me. If God wanted me to have that idea, guess who he would have given it to? Me. God gives you that idea. You're a big part of that plan. A lot of us want God to show up and do everything. A lot of us want God to show up and do plan A, B, C, D, and we just want to reap the benefits. This is what God said. He said, Moses, I know you're oppressed. Moses, I know you need deliverance. I've heard it. I've seen it. He said, this is what we are going to do. Why is it something we are going to do? Because this is what God's saying. What I need to do is already done. Catch that. God doesn't need to do anything. It is already done. It's why we stand in 2021, 2,000 years after the cross, and say this, by his stripes we were healed. So when God says, hey, this is what we're going to do, what do you mean we? He's saying, I've already done what I've done, but this is where I love God. God's different than Brandon the father. God says, I've already done what I'm going to help you do what you need to do. See, as a father, an earthly father, I show you how to tie your shoes. I'll do it for you. I teach you how to do it. And then I say, now you do it. And then I watch them fail. And then I watch them get frustrated. And then I do it. They watch me. Now you do it. God doesn't do it that way. God says, I've done it. Now I'm going to help you do it. And so God puts his hand on your hand. God puts his hand on your heart. God puts his mouth behind your voice. So that when you speak, that your voice is now amplified. And when you start speaking, and angels start moving, and things start shifting. And man, do you really think mountains move by your voice? No, they don't move by your voice. They move because your voice is now amplified with his voice. And so when I say to the mountain moves. Why? Because God said, I've already done what I'm going to do, but now I'm going to help you do what you're going to do. He said, Moses, this is what we're going to do. You are a part of God's plan. When you pray, God, this is what I need you to do. God has already done what he needs to do. But he says, all right, if that's the request and that's what you need done, now here is how we are going to bring that to pass. You are a part of God's plan. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I? Somebody say, who am I? That I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. That is a valid question, but it is a wrong question. You know what I love about this text that God dropped on me during worship right there on the front row? We always talk about Moses' speech impediment. We don't hear about the speech impediment here. He's not worried about how he's going to say it yet. The first thing he's concerned with is, what am I going to say, and who do I tell them is saying this? Can I tell you not to get too far down the road? Some of you are already in January 22 making New Year's resolutions. I am one of them. Oh, come on. January 1st, the diet starts. January 1st, we'll start working out. January 1st, I'm going to cut out carbs. That's hell, y'all. I don't want to hear about keto. I don't want to hear about cauliflower pizza. I won't even try it. Oh, come on, you got to have this bean burger. It tastes amazing. No, it don't. It tastes amazing for a bean burger, but it doesn't compare to the real thing. I need a burger that a day before was going, but some of us, and we laugh about this, but let's bring it to the spiritual. Some of us are already making excuses as to why we can't say it. And we really shouldn't be there yet. We should be saying, God, what do you want me to say? And who do you want me to tell them is saying it? Can I encourage you? Don't move into 2022. The Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow because the tomorrow's troubles are already sufficient. But right here today, right here, right now, this is the moment. Everything hinges on what we do right now. And some of us have got to get out of our own mind and our own way because we are already in 2022 making excuses as to why God can't, why God won't, and why it will never happen. But I have come to encourage you, and I got about 3 minutes left tonight. But you are not those people. You are a living way for a reason tonight because I have come to tell you and encourage you the word that God gave me. I'm not making excuses as to why it won't happen or can't happen. I am here standing in the last 31 days with a pad and a pencil saying, God, what do you want me to say? Who do you want me to tell them is sending me? Because before I ever get to the excuse, God has already made a way through the excuse. And I want all of us to get on that page tonight. Moses asked God three words, one question. Who am I? Who am I that I should go under Pharaoh? Who am I is always asked when you do not know who he is. You know what anxiety really is? It's putting all the pressure on you and taking the responsibility off of God. When you deal with anxiety, you're thinking, what am I going to do? You know how you kill anxiety? No longer what am I going to do, what has he already done? You know what depression is? It's really us thinking, I've made mistakes and there's no way I can come back. But it's not that you should be thinking. It's I've made mistakes, but great is the grace of God that when I sin, when I fall short, the grace of God abounds. We read that verse just a few moments ago. And so when we start asking, who am I? And we start looking at ourselves in a negative light as believers, it is because we don't have a firm grasp on who Jesus is. That's why it's important that you worship and not listen or watch them worship. That's why it's important that you get in your word, not listen to me regurgitate what God told me to tell you. Can I encourage you? Podcasts are great, but letting the I am speak to your heart is the greatest. Worship is great, but God hearing your melody to the throne room, to the I am, that is what's going to change things. Who am I is always asked when we don't know who he is. Here's another one. Who am I is always asked when our faith is wavering. Anytime we look at ourselves and we start worrying, now it is based on our performance. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good I am. The Bible says our righteousness, the way we do, it's as filthy rags to him. He's saying your best is far worse than my worst. He said, you can't do it on your own. So anytime you say, who am I? It is when faith is wavering. Here's the third one. We ask, who am I? Right before that question usually comes in the seasons before we are getting ready to make a big faith move. The enemy doesn't attack sitting targets. He attacks those that get up and are on the move. He does not attack those that are in the same place in December that they were in last December in 2020. He does not attack those who haven't done anything for the last 6 months. But the ones that he comes after are those ones that are putting a foot in front of every the other foot every day, saying, God, I'm gaining ground. God, I'm stronger than I was. God, I've been oppressed for long enough, but God, I'm getting ready to talk to Pharaoh. God, I'm getting ready to come out of bondage. God, I'm getting ready to leave Egypt. God, I'm getting ready to get in the wilderness so I can get to my promised land. And when you stand up, the devil takes notice. But when you begin to move, he gets all of his demons in hell to surround you and start talking to you, start coming at you, start questioning who you are. Someone asked me this week, they said, where's so-and-so been? I said, you'd have to ask so-and-so. Pastor, you should reach out to him. I have every week for 6 weeks. They've read every message I've sent them. That's the beauty of Facebook. I know when it's been read. They have not responded to me. So don't ask me where they are. Ask them where they are. What happened? Anyone can be strong for a season. Anyone can be all in for Jesus for 4 months. Anyone can make great faith proclamations when everything is good. And you begin to see, but it takes a real believer to say, hey, I'm in the middle of oppression. I'm in the middle of the biggest bondage. I'm in the biggest Egypt that I've ever been in. But I've been talking to the I Am, and I'm not going to be here much longer. Get your popcorn ready, because when God shows up and my faith gets right, I am not staying here. Stand on your feet. I'm going to leave you with one thought that I believe is going to change your life. Has it changed mine? How many of you make declarations over your life every day? I make them every day. I say things like, I am healthy. I am healed. I am walking in health. I am walking in wholeness. I have a strong marriage. I have amazing children. I pray for my children's children, my children's spouses. I am wealthy. I am going to be the first billionaire in my family. I am going to be the first billionaire in San Antonio that's going to reap. Come on now. I make those kinds of proclamations. I have the mind of Christ. I am the righteousness of God. Those are the proclamations I make. But check this out. I love when God showed me this. We must be confident with who we are in Christ, because we can't say, I am, fill in the blank with anything. We can't say, I am healed, unless you know the I am. That was worth the trip. Some of you already missed it. I'm going to bring it back around. It's going to be like a boomerang. I'm going to catch it again. You can't say, I am healed, unless you know the I am. You can't say, I am whole, unless you know the I am. You can't say, I am strong, unless you know the I am. Why? Because the I am has already been there and done that. When I say I am healed, I'm not saying what I want to happen. I say what's already been paid for, and in faith, boom, I bring it to right where I am. I am because he is. I am because I am. Who am I, God? I'm not even going to get to my speech impediment yet, but who am I to talk to Pharaoh? That's you talking. God's going to talk through you. So that question now changes, like, who does Pharaoh think he is that he gets to talk to God? Come on now. Man, I can never go talk to my boss. I've just been here 6 months, and he's up there. He's been climbing the corporate ladder for 20. Who am I to him? No. It's not who you are. It's who he is. In him I live, move, and have my being. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I always put those two verses together, just like Bishop preached at 9 a.m. on Sunday. I put those two scriptures together. Why? Because you should, as a believer, we should not be able to see where you end and God begins, or where God ends and you begin. I'm in him, one verse says. He's in me, one verse. Well, which one is it? Yes. Do you like Papados or Papacitas? Yes. Quit the either or. Move into both. You don't have to be saved or wealthy. You can be both. You don't have to have a healthy marriage or a healthy body. You can have both. Why? Because I am. Because of I am. He is. I believe it. I receive it. If this word means anything to you and God's been speaking to you the last 30 minutes, I need you to step out of your seat. I need you to show up in this altar. God's got promises.